Good morning, everyone. It is a privilege to get to share the word with you this morning, and I feel I have a word from God. In fact, I would like to start this out with a quote from a man that I greatly respected, never had the privilege of preach several times, have read a lot of his stuff. In fact, I believe I'm alive today because of his ministry. But many times over, this man would make this statement. In fact, he began his service, "Something good is going to happen today." Oral Roberts made that statement, and I have great respect for him. Several months ago, before all of the coronavirus started flowing around and doing the work that it's doing in the world today, God gave me a scripture out of Joshua chapter 3, the end of verse 4. "For you have not passed this way before." And time, the extreme extent of what God was saying to me, I thought he was talking about what he was getting ready to do. And he absolutely was. But he was also talking we're on the way. So let's get something real straight as we start this morning. God did not cause any of this mess. In fact, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The main thing that he's trying to do today in the world, and has been doing for the last 2,000 years, is his assault on the church. And this is an assault on the church. And needless to say, we've been separated as bodies now for over a month. But I believe what God is doing is he's waiting for some people that are willing to connect with him and to move to where he is going. The church, as I see it, has been doing pretty much its own thing for a long time now. And God wants the church to do what he wants it to do, go in the direction he wants it to go in. And so there are changes coming. When God spoke this word to Joshua, he told him, he said, what you've been doing in the past, you know, but it took you 40 years to get here. I've been in the ministry now. I've been pastor of a church over 40 years. And I believe that God is moving to change. Men have had to change the way of doing things for a long time now. I thought about this the other day. Have you ever thought about Noah before and after the flood? I mean, he couldn't flow where the world was because it was in such sin. After the flood, God was using him to establish a culture, a whole new group of people. What about Abraham after he had to leave the Ur, the Chaldees? He came out of a wealthy family, and God tells him to move and says, just start going. I'm going to show you when you get there. Also, what about Joseph after the dream? Had to make some real changes. Things began to escalate in his life tremendously. What about Moses after the burning bush? I've often thought about Moses. How do you come back and explain to someone, the God of my fathers has spoken to me in a burning bush? What about David after Goliath? What a change. What a change had to go on in his life. In fact, you follow David's life, and it was nothing but change after change after change for him. Then what about Daniel after the den, after being in the lion's den? The absolute aura that had to be of the thought of people around him after this had happened. What about Mary and Joseph after the angelic announcement? What their lives were like? Some would say, well, their lives was turned upside down. Well, actually, you could say a life like no one had lived up to that point. Then what about the disciples? Before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Golly, think about the changes. I mean, immediately we read that thousands were added to the church just overnight. Thousands. I like to look at ourselves in the ministry as organized individuals. How do you organize for a move of God like that? For thousands come in. And you have to begin to minister to them and touch their lives and all the changes, not only that's going on with you, but also going on with them. What about the changes that happened in Paul's life after the Damascus Road? I mean, you could say his life was destroyed, but this, to the spiritual side of that thing, his life was just beginning like it had never begun before. As he began to move out, I mean, immediately, you know, God spoke to him. Then God leads him and takes him out, and he's taught by God just personally, you know, for several years there, to come back and begin to flow against the religious flow of the day. What about you and me now, after what's going on now? Now, I'm not going to give the coronavirus any credit of what's going on, because it's God that's moved some things that really, that we need to understand. We need to start hearing from God. We need to know how to flow in the Spirit, and we need to know how to follow God the way He wants us to do it. It's been the church community. I think after 40 years, I had the right to have an opinion. The one thing I realized, I sat down one day and I thought, what have I learned in 70 years? And one thing, everybody has an opinion. The second thing I learned is not many people care. There are several things, though, in my assessment that I've looked at the church that's going on. If this touches you, you know, this would be a good day and a good time for repentance. People in the church people, they like things to be familiar. They like things to be familiar. They like things to be predictable. You know, I grew up in a church like we didn't have names for our songs. We had numbers, and so they had a board up on the walls, and it would tell you the hymns that you were going to sing that day. And you didn't really need a bulletin because it was so predictable. I mean, this was how they came in. This went here, this went here, this went here. Because everything was predictable, and people loved it. But I found out when I got into the evangelical church, they were identically the same. The only difference was they put the names on the hymns. I didn't probably realize they had names up to that point. Another thing is I have found out the church community hates change. They hate change because when change comes, there has to be a learning curve. And a learning curve is on its way, folks. Let me tell you now, it is on its way because you and I have not passed this way before. Another thing I discovered about the church is they like to be comfortable. They really, I wonder, there's a church down in Texas or a group of churches, you could call it a denomination. They're called the cowboy churches. And my understanding, I've never been in one, but my understanding is in these cowboy churches, they have bales of hay sitting around. And that's what people sit on. I thought, you know, the average Christian really wouldn't like that because there's no back, it's not padded, and probably it just doesn't fit the right height, you know, to be uncomfortable. Oh, they love to be comfortable. The church loves to be comfortable. Another thing I discovered is Christians have gotten, they don't like any long-term commitments. See, I found out that over 40 years ago when I became friends with Billy Henderson, he and I had the same goal. And that was, we were committed to Lexington for the rest of our lives. You know, I have people ask me from time to time, when are you going to retire? When I die. You'll know I've retired then. Or you could say I've just left and moved to another place of ministry. See, one of the things you need to understand, it takes long-term commitments, could say lifelong commitments, to really accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish. See, when Moses found himself at that burning bush, he was committed for the rest of his life. When Joshua woke up and he was the leader, he was committed for the rest of his life. We need to really measure how long our commitment is and how much we're going to put into it. And the last thing is I found that Christians don't like to be pushed. I mean, you know, well, they like the idea of give me space, you know, I'll work my way out of this thing, you know. Well, I want you to understand something. The worldly government has pushed you, and now, by some churches that decided not to comply with the law, they found out that really that the government stepped in and said, we're going to rule your life. Well, God's really been pushing us ever since we've been born again. He is pushing us up, not down. Well, those are the things that I feel like an assessment of the church community. And I believe all that's changing. I believe God is going to take a situation that has arisen, and he is absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is going to move in the earth like we've never seen it before. In fact, I want to use a term that the world has come up with, the new norm. I would like for you, you know, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 55. I've learned a lot out of this scripture over the years, but let's read here together. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, God just really lays it out right there. In fact, basically what I would say if I was going to paraphrase this, he said, I'm a whole lot smarter than you are. In fact, I'm not only smarter than you are, I'm more efficient than you are. And if you will learn to think the way I think, you'll find out that you are really going to be quite successful. And if you'll do things the way I want you to do them, you'll be highly successful. There's a scripture that I'd like you to look at also. It's in John. It's John 16, verse 13. For when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you a statement of just what we read over here. Because the Holy Spirit is not out there. He's not in competition with God. He is absolutely going to work in your life the way that God wants you to work. He's going to tell you what God wants you to know. We can get to the point through the Holy Spirit all of the time. And great things are going to happen when we do that. If we will listen to him. God's been speaking to me the last several years. It's been a simple little word that he's spoken to me. And it's just be led by my Spirit. Be led by my Spirit. You hear people all the time in the Christian world, they'll say, well, I am led to. Well, it is amazing. Everything that God leads me to do actually connects to what he has told me to do before and is preparing me for the next connection that is on the way so that I can do in the future what God has destined me to do, what he has designed me to do, and what he has called me to do. I mean, that's one of the problems when people talk about retirement. Do you realize that right now, I have more to offer than in any other time in my life. Compared to what I know now, 10 years ago, I wasn't all that smart. I have progressed. I have matured because that is what God wants to do. So the new norm that we're doing is listening to God, doing things his way. Now, we can also look at this passage over in Isaiah 55 and understand my thoughts are not your thoughts. Paul brought a revelation in the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 2, when he said, be renewed by the word. There are minds, the renewing of the minds by the word of God. It is important that we start reading the word with a new perspective, with a new objective. That God, what are you saying to me? What are you wanting to correct in my life? What are you wanting to build into my life? What are you wanting my life to do? What do you want? And understand something. because you haven't passed this way before, the way you've been doing things, I would really tell you now very confidently that you're not going to be successful in the future because it is out of date. You know, people love antique cars. When I was growing up, my first car that I actually bought was a 1966 GTO. It was a pretty quick little car on the road. But compared to what's out there today, that car really, it was just a piece of junk because everything has progressed. The kingdom is progressing. It is getting more detailed from the God perspective than we've ever seen it before. Now, so it is important when he says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, we need to get in the Word. The thing I've discovered, I've been a Christian now 50 years. And the one thing that I understand is the Word, it just constantly is revealing itself and revealing itself and revealing itself. There's a passage over in Mark 11, verse 22-23, about praying. Most of you all would have read that passage. It is amazing. I have read that passage, I'm sure, hundreds of times. In fact, just for the sake of it, I read it last night. I wanted to see. There is more revelation coming to me on that passage of Scripture every single time I read it, because that's the new norm that is going on. The second thing about the new norm is getting results. Getting results not even thought of before. Not even thought of before. In fact, you're a whole lot more creative in God than you realize you are. I want to read a passage to you out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, power that works within us. It's time that we start realizing who we are in him. When we learn who we are in him, we realize that absolutely the passage of scripture that, you know, that says that nothing's impossible to him who believes. Now, that doesn't mean you come up with wild, crazy dreams. That means you listen to God, and when he tells you to do something, you can do it. When he told Moses, go back, bring my people out, he meant he could do it because there was going to be a power working in him that absolutely was going to bring a few million people out of captivity that had been in captivity almost 400 years. When David walked up, and he saw that giant out there intimidating the entire army of God, the entire army. He said, he didn't have anything, but he talked about, I have a covenant with God, and I can take this giant down because I have a covenant with God. When God started speaking to Paul and said, you can take the gospel and start changing things. In fact, can you imagine when God spoke to Paul and said, now I'm going to let you. The Gentiles were absolutely looked at as absolute heathens. No hope. They're not, don't even fool with them. They were out there. Listen to this. God is getting ready to reveal to people that are willing to listen to him things that can happen, things that he wants you if you will just absolutely yield your life wholly to him. Let's go back to Isaiah 55 for just a moment, because there's a passage there that really draws this in. It says in verse 11, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return unto me empty without accomplishing what I desire. Now there's the key, what he desires, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. We are getting ready to see the word work in people's lives like we've never seen it before. In fact, let me rephrase it. We are getting ready to see the word work in your life like you've never, ever seen it happen before. But there's two key things that's important for us to realize. The first one is in Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here's the key. Lean not to you. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But let me just tell you one more. You are not as smart as you think you are. Just let God start thinking through you. Let God start thinking through you. Let God start thinking through you. Don't lean on your own understanding. I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is, look at leaning to your own understanding. Look to where it's got you right now. Now, do you want to be in the same boat in 10 years from today, 20 years from today? Or do you want to be where God wants you to be, doing the things that God wants you to do? Plain and simple. The other one, you know, is we have a passage over in Luke 4, verse 1. It said, Jesus, full of the Spirit. Now, that in Pentecostal circles, that's the epitome. I mean, that is where you want to be, full of the Spirit. And in the midst of that, he said he's full of the Spirit, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, one of the things that most people, when they read that passage in Luke chapter 4, what they focus on is the attack of the devil. The devil attacked him. Then he came back and attacked him, got after him again. Then the devil came back and got him again. The one thing that I want to make sure you fully understand today, absolutely fully understand, Jesus won. Jesus won. The Satan absolutely did not get the upper hand at all. Jesus absolutely won. Completely. He won. Why did he win? Because he did exactly what the Spirit of God was leading him to do. And that's the key for you and me. Now, go back to Joshua. In Joshua, as we read this, you know, we started with verse 4 here. You've not passed this way before. But the next verse. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. You know, you don't hear that word thrown about a whole lot today in Christian circles, do you? I looked, you know, I had a general idea, but I wanted to know what the Hebrew was. And it just has a simple word, that, you know, separate. In other words, separate yourselves. And there was a second word, destroy. Separate yourselves and destroy those things that are in your life that are not of God. Quite simple. Quite simple. I'm working on a sermon right now that sin's not what it's all cracked up to be. And it's not. In fact, we really have given sin too much credit in the world. We're giving this coronavirus too much credit. It's time for the entire body of Christ to rise up against this absolute assault that's coming on us. And if there is something going on in our lives that's causing us to be weakened in any way whatsoever, we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. You know, there's a scripture that we teach children, but really we need to back up and learn it ourselves. It's, you know, John wrote this. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. So if there's anything in your life that is absolutely not glorifying God, holding you back, hindering you in any way, form, or fashion, separate yourself from it and destroy it. I would say this, go back to the root of that problem of when it came into your life and chop that root out. Because you need to understand, so in my neighborhood, several years ago, a guy cut down, he had a hickory tree, and he had a walnut tree, and he didn't want them. And so he just cut them down. Well, it's real interesting. If you drive by his house, there is a beautiful walnut tree there, and there's a beautiful hickory tree there. And they all grew back from suckers. You got to kill the root. If you want to consecrate yourself, you've got to kill the root. So why is this so important? Well, let's read on. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Wonders. Let me just give you a little insight about that. Wonders are extraordinary things. Miracles. And what they do is they destroy our lives. They absolutely distinguish. He becomes, it's an undeniable mark that's on our lives that this is God. I love it. I love when people look at me and say, you know, you can't get to where you are by you. And they think they're insulting me. They're not insulting me. I had a guy call me a Bible thumper one time. I had to think about that for a few minutes a day. He did it. I thought, wow, he's bragging on me. He's bragging on me. I want to be a Bible thumper, you know, because the Bible has thumped me to where I am today. God wants to do extraordinary things. It is time that we realize that there is a miracle power available to us. Jesus won't leave Jerusalem until you get the promise. Because in the promise is where the power is. And where the power is causes the miracles to happen. And I'm running into people all the time today. We need a miracle right now to stand again. I'm saying this to you, that we need to stand against this attack that's happening in the world today. You know, I was thinking about this just yesterday. Isn't it remarkable that this virus supposedly came out of China? It is my understanding that for the last 100 years, the most consistent place for revival in the world has been in China. And don't look at the Chinese, the communist Chinese. Look at the people, the Chinese people. In fact, I've had the privilege over the years on several occasions to have some Chinese people walk into our services. I had a guy walk in, and he was a high-ranking official in the Communist Party in China. And he came in, and he said, because I have never been in a church in my life. This guy was probably about 60 years old. He said, I've never been in a church in my life. I just wanted to see what one looked like on the inside. He came in. His son came in. His daughter got affected. They all got saved. The Chinese people are hungry. You know, the more you deprive a person of something, the more they want it. And that's what's happened in China. So I don't think it's unusual that this virus is out of there, because Satan is doing again. He's trying to come against the church. Now, we've not passed this way before. But we're getting ready. We're getting ready as never before. And when we see him move, when we see him doing wonders among you, I have some advice for you. This is what I want you to think on. It's also in Joshua chapter 3. It's an easy to miss statement. It's the last three words of verse 3. They're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. It's getting ready. They said, it says that in my translation, it said that they sent, you know, people among the groups to tell the camps to tell them. And they said, when you see the Ark move, and listen to the word, go after it. Go after it. Go after it. You know, God doesn't move, you know, mysteriously and secretively. He's not doing things, you know. One thing that bothers me, a lot of churches have gone into the dark. They turn all their lights out and they smoke the place up. I'm telling you what, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Why turn the lights out, you know? God is moving. Like Jesus looked and said, teaching. I've been teaching out in the public, you know. I haven't been doing this secretively. This is not a subversive move. I've been moving out in the open. God is getting ready to move. I'm standing here today, not many miles from where one of the greatest revivals that affected the world. Wilmore, Kentucky is probably, what, 4 or 5 miles from us? A bunch of kids decided to just pray. Bunch of kids, bunch of professors. And in Wilmore, Kentucky. You know, if you're not from Kentucky, and it's over by itself, Bible is there. And my word to you is this today. As God starts to move, go after it. Go after it. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. It's time that we lay down our hindering connections to the world and go after God. It's the greatest thing that's going to be happening in our lifetime. Don't miss it.
Amen.
Am I lined up? Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Powerful word. I've known Ernie for several years, but I haven't really got to know him until just recently, because Ernie and I both have a love for golf. And for I've been playing since I was in college. I'm 67 now, and I used to walk, but for the last 6 months, done since I was in college, and that is walk 18 holes of golf. And one of the reasons is just what you heard. I love to listen to this guy talk, and he likes to talk, and I like to talk too, but I will listen. I'll give him the floor anytime to listen at. So I know you were blessed. I was blessed. And so thank you, brother. We've heard a word of prophecy today, churches. God is speaking to us and telling us to use what the world sees as a bad thing. Let God use it as a good thing for his glory and using it through us who love him. I appreciate what you had to share. And one of the thoughts that came to my mind, he's talking about the word of God. You know, the church is not an organization. It's an organism. And an organism continues to grow, and it grows. And that's exactly what God does in using his word. Watchman Nee made a very good statement one time. He says that the word without light becomes doctrine. The word with light becomes revelation. May God's word reveal itself to us today as we've heard it here today. My name is Mike Brady. For those of you that don't know, I pastor the church at Tatesbrook. I've been very well connected with Lexington Christian Fellowship churches. They came and used our building for several years. Well, it was a blessing to us. And I saw Chad Jessman Church go off, and I've seen Ben's group go out, and it's been a blessing to see the growth of those churches, and then to meet Bill here today and his lovely wife, and to be with Ernie. It's just been a joy, and I agree with Billy. This is something that's just a blessing from God. And I hope and pray all of you all have been blessed. We've probably gone over time. We gave Ernie just a few minutes. We knew he'd go over, but that's great that he did that. But you guys are all at home. They're sitting in your most favorite chairs. And, okay, you ready to go? Okay, yeah, right. So I'm going to end with a prayer. Billy just cuts me off like he usually does here. We're going to go with a prayer. And then after that, you guys fellowship. Have a great time, okay? So God bless you. Glad you followed along with us today. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and say thank you, thank you, thank you for life that you've given us to live on this. Praise you that we each one are above all circumstances because we are seated with you in heavenly places. And Lord, we take these words that we've been that have been spoken to us, Father, we take it as a word of prophecy, and that we, Lord, will take hold of this day, and that we will go after. We will go after that spirit that you've laid upon us today. We love you, Father. You're our life. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fellowship with one another at this time.
I don't know. This angel air. Not all houses are built.